Now, the CEO offers are out. Some of the highest achieving Leaving Cert students from yesterday unfortunately lost out in their dream place as the CEO points remain sky high. A lottery for entry to some hotly contested courses left even applicants with the maximum 625 points or close to it without their top choice. The CEO round one brought a fall in points for some disciplines. Others saw big increases, and in others, as is the case every year, the points were relatively stable but remain or close to at record levels that we've seen in recent years, and that's because of the great inflation. The CEO issued 83,369 offers to 56,751 CEO applicants yesterday. Well over half of Level 8 honours degree offers were for the applicant's first preference course, while 83% were one of their top three preferences. The chances of getting an offer were higher for Level 7 and 6 ordinary degree or higher certificate courses, with 92% of offers for the applicant's first preference course and 99% for one of their top three courses. Now starts the battle to find a place and to pick the course and get accommodation, which is proving as tough as it has in recent years, according to our listeners. With me on the line to talk about this in more detail is Minister for Further and Higher Education, Research, Innovation and Science, Patrick O'Donovan. Minister, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning to your listeners.
Are you happy overall with the level of offers that are out there for people? And what's your response to the concern expressed by several in executive positions in our third level institutes? They're saying that it's spectacularly unfair for some and we need to get a handle on the great inflation.
Yeah, well, the first thing I'd say is a huge word of congratulations to everybody listening and their parents who got an offer yesterday. It's 56,000, as you were saying. 83% of people would have gotten for a Level 8 degree one of their top three choices, and 99% of people who opted for a Level 6 or 7 course would have gotten one of their top three choices. So those are fairly phenomenal results, and to be fair, that, you know, people are really getting in their top three choices what they wanted. And a lot of that is down to the investment that has been made in our university and third level sector over the last number of years that we're able to create places. Naturally enough, we have competition. I think the CAO as a system has worked the test and is proven the test of time that it is a good system. It's anonymous. People are all treated the same. It's based purely on numbers. And it means that it's not open to any sort of abuse or interpretation, and people get an offer based on their Leaving Cert results. Just in relation to grade inflation, look, this is the last class that we'll have had interaction with that terrible COVID, in the sense that they wouldn't like me and you to be able to do a junior cert or an inter cert. So they had no experience of a state exam with the State Exams Commission. And it was only right then that the Department of Education continued, I believe, the system that was there pre-COVID. Now, no matter what way you go to town on this, you're going to be damned by one or damned by all. I mean, if the Department of Education had gotten rid of the post-COVID situation, they would have been accused, I'm sure, this morning on the newspapers and on radio stations like this, of a cliff edge. You know, then we have a situation where, so no matter what is the story is with COVID and its impact on second level students going into third level, it was never going to be right. But now the minister has committed to an unwinding of it. That'll be done in an orderly way. It'll be done in conjunction with my own department. It'll be done in conjunction with the Higher Education Authority, because obviously the inflated grade have had an impact on points, and that has had an impact on pressure in courses. But we'll see that unwind over the next while, as it's done in an orderly fashion, because we've been told it won't be done in a cliff edge, and I think that's really important. But this morning, I think, is really a reflection on the work that people have done. And for those that are disappointed, and there will be naturally people listening to Radio Kerry today who are disappointed, what I would say to them is there's a multiplicity of avenues into courses now that never existed before, either through the Education and Training Boards, through apprenticeships, and then through the universities and the technological universities, that simply did not exist before in terms of pathways into different courses and the career choice that you have your heart set on. And there are a number of guidance numbers that are available for people to seek assistance before they make any decision, and to people to consult that. So I think in general, look, you're always going to have pressure. You're always going to have disappointment. That's the natural order of a competitive race for a limited number of places. But just in relation to the lottery for grade inflation, there's only two courses at the maximum 625 that'll be at lottery. One of them is dentistry and the other one is economics and finance in UCD. And the rest staying down along, will some of the rest will have an element of lottery if you land right on the button of the pints. But if you're over it, if you have one, two or three or five pints over it, your place is secured.
Yeah, and that's part of the way it works out and the way it will be unwound over the next number of years. What about the issue of accommodation then? If you get your place, you may have to put it off. You may have to hold it if you can't get accommodation. We're reading this morning, €8,000 being charged for share rooms in student accommodation, private student accommodation, as demand outstrips supply for beds on campus. Now, I know you've made changes to can be charged by landlords, but there's still a shortage. And I suppose it's extended out from the overall problem that's still a problem that hasn't been solved, and that's the housing crisis. It's hitting students hard.
Well, students represent 5% of the population, so, you know, there's a natural knock-on in terms of pressure on the housing system and on the housing availability, that the upward pressure on, and we saw it yesterday, I think, or the day before, in relation to the Central Statistics Office about the population of the state, has risen by, you know, in excess of over 110,000 in the last 12 months. And, you know, the likelihood is that the population will continue to rise. Returning Irish migrants, the birth rate, natural growth in terms of the people that are being born, outstripping those that are dying, which is a good thing. So our population is going up. And, you know, the Taoiseach has said that over the lifetime of a five-year programme, he'd like to see a situation where the housing figures are revised to 250,000, which I think is reasonable based on the population growth. But on top of that, and he and I are meeting this afternoon, we met again the other day with regard to the heads of the universities. The president of MTU was there, and he knows, because he's a former minister for further and higher education, that there is undoubtedly issues with regard to third level accommodation. But we have done a lot, you know, in terms of our support for European Investment Bank funding directly into universities. We have given €100 million for direct bills to three universities last year. We've changed tax laws with regard to what people can earn, and as well as that, we've given tax credits to renters, and we've also improved the SUSE grants. And we would be hoping, but naturally enough, you know, it's a budgetary cycle, and we're in negotiations both with the Minister for Finance and Public Expenditure at the moment. Students predominantly, you know, are always under financial pressure, and we would be hoping this year in the budget to do a lot of what was done last year and the year before by Simon Harris, produce an overall pack of measures that, taken cumulatively, will help relieve the pressures of parents listening to this in Kerry and Limerick and North Cork and elsewhere.
Will you look at the MTU in Kerry, who for a number of years now have been looking to try and get their own accommodation up and running, maybe direct build, but certainly get involved in a project to provide on-site accommodation?
Yeah, so look, the technological universities have expressions of interest in with the department, and we're examining those at the moment now. Obviously, you know, they don't have a borrowing capacity like the other universities do, so that will involve some sort of either public-private partnership or direct support from the department. The first thing it involves, of course, is a pot of money, and that is something that I have to get my hands on. And I'm using the opportunity over the next number of days and weeks to really reinforce the message, and I'll be doing it later again this afternoon with the Taoiseach, that our students need to be maintained in accommodation that's fit for purpose. Because listening to Professor Stephen Kinsella there from the University of Limerick recently, you know, there's no doubt about it, but the greatest risk to the Irish economy is complacency. That, you know, we become complacent that everything here is good in terms of the skill sets that we are producing out of our university sector. We have to continue to invest in the university sector. That means we have to continue to invest in equipment, in buildings, in teaching numbers. But we also have to invest in the students through SUSE and through tax and as well as that through accommodation.
Yeah, if you don't have jobs, Minister, you don't have anything else, and you need a strong economy. But you speak of complacency there. What do you say to those who would say that your government has been complacent, that the population growth wasn't spotted, not enough was done 5 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, but certainly 5 years ago, to try and head off these bottlenecks and turn things around on accommodation quicker than you're doing it?
Well, what I'd say to those people is take out a history book and look at what we were doing 10 years ago. We were trying to save this country's economic sovereignty
and
its independence.
And indeed, no one's quibbling on that, but 5 years ago I'm talking about. Yeah, we're seeing it now, and we're seeing the problems now, taking a long time to fix.
And 5 years ago, we didn't have the population growth that we had, because our economy was only still recovering from, and people were still carrying massive amounts of personal debt. And the country wasn't as attractive as it is now, either in terms of domestic investment or in terms of international investment. And that growth, which has been seen all over County Kerry, all over Limerick, all over the Midwest and the South, is there for everyone to see. We also see that the number of housing units that are being produced at the moment are equivalent to units that were, in terms of numbers, over 50 years ago. So we have growth in our housing numbers now that we have never seen for the last 50 years.
But we are seeing, you know, huge reductions in the amount of second-hand property available in Kerry. We're seeing increases again this year in rent, up 9% in Kerry year on year. So despite what's being done, things are still going the wrong direction for people out there looking to rent or to buy.
Well, everything's not going in the wrong direction, and that'll be an unfair characterisation, because if you go into most towns in the country now, there are sites opened and construction has started in many, many places. And it's not just houses being built in Dublin or Galway or Cork or Limerick. Provincial Ireland now is becoming far more attractive as people are working from home, as our public transport and our road network continues to be invested in, and it's far easier to work and live in areas that up to now would have been considered remote than what they would have been 10 or 15 years ago. So to give a characterisation that nothing is happening, I think would be unfair.
No, I'm not saying nothing's happening, but the trends in terms of available properties are in the wrong direction at the moment in Kerry, from two stories we did this week.
And the trends in relation to available properties are as a direct consequence of our population growth. And the only way we will be able to outstrip that is by continuing to make sure that the numbers that we have seen in terms of 100,000 houses being finished since we came into government, as part of this government, that that's continued. Some people will come on your programme and tell you that they'll be able to build a house in Dublin for €300,000. Now, unless it's out of Lego, I don't know how they're going to be able to do it. The reality is that can't be done. Everybody knows that, because if you're a plasterer or a blocker or a roofer or an electrician or a painter or a plumber, you deserve to have an income. Political parties that are telling you on Radio Kerry that they'll build houses in Dublin for 300,000 people must be either going to do one of two things. Either A, not pay the people that they're getting the land off of, some sort of confiscation measure like they do in Russia, or B, not pay the people who are building them.
Final point for you, Minister. Zurich Insurance had a survey out this morning about the cost of going to college, and the estimated costs for parents, 9,511 to send their child to third level, and that's living at home is €6,000, but if a child is in student rented accommodation, the costs are likely to be much higher. What do you say to those who don't qualify for SUSE grants, who are faced with this sort of a cost? What can you do to help them?
And look, this is obviously going to form part of the budget, and as always form part of the budget, the so-called squeeze middle, and whether it is in relation to direct tax relief that are given to people who work and pay for everything, or whether it is in relation to changing of bans that are eligibility for SUSE, or whether it is increasing the amount of money that actually goes in terms of the non-adjacent rate for people that are eligible for SUSE at the moment. These are all issues that we are at the moment in the throes of thrashing around with the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform and the Department of Finance. But to go back to what I said earlier, we reap what we sow. If we invest in third level, as we did in the 80s and in the 90s when we hardly had a backside to our trousers, it proved in a generation that it was something worth doing. Now we're at a juncture, I believe, as well, where we need to continue the level of investment and the level of ambition that we have in the state, because it's with well trained young people coming out of our universities, our technological universities, that'll be the drivers of the economy, that'll pay for the pensions, that'll pay for the potholes, that'll pay for the houses, that'll pay for all of the increases in health and social welfare and everything else. And that's why it is so important to invest in it. And none of my colleagues around the cabinet table disagree with this, but I am, you know, in a row to try and get the most money against defence and justice and health and transport and everybody else.
And all the other hands that are reaching into the pot for the money that's there. Minister, look, there's a decision to be made about a veterinary college in this country. Is it possibly going to go to Limerick?
There's a number of applicants that are in, and they're all very good. And the Higher Education Authority will hopefully be making a recommendation shortly with regard to a way forward. I'll reflect on that recommendation and I'll bring a decision into government, and we'll have a second veterinary college. But what I should say is that there will also be further opportunities for our universities and our technological universities in the areas of pharmacy, physiotherapy, medicine, dentistry. We're going to be doing all of those as well over the next month or 6 weeks. So we're going to try and spread it as evenly as we can across the country and be also very conscious of and very cognizant of some of the difficulties that each of the universities in their own right have at the moment with regard to capacity and other matters.
Yeah, okay. A very final brief question for you on, and it's an issue that's come up again today. It's a question about doctors and our health services and staffing of those. Would you be in favour of getting newly qualified doctors? I know the points for medicine dropped a little bit yesterday, to work here for a certain time after they qualify.
So a lot do, and a lot go abroad and they do their internship and they do they become consultants and then they come back to Ireland. I mean, we're not North Korea, we're not Cuba, and you know, I mean, we don't live in a society where, you know, even the party that's promising the €300,000 house for everybody in the audience isn't suggesting that we prevent people from travelling, because when you do travel to another university abroad or a teaching hospital abroad, you're brought to a stage where you can bring back that learning to Ireland.
We have quarter of our GPs over 60, a lot of them retiring in rural areas. We need some sort of radical thinking.
And as I said a while ago, we're looking at expanding the number of places in medicine in a number of different universities. Some have very innovative plans, and we're examining those, and we hope to be making decisions on those within the next 6 to 8 weeks. However, you know, we do live in a democracy and we live in a country where people are entitled to travel. And, you know, Dr. Jerry O'Sullivan may very well meet a young woman from Vancouver and decide to immigrate. That's not illegal, you know. So we can't say to people, just because they come from a particular discipline, you can't travel. In fact, it's actually travel to other hospitals in different parts of the world, you know, educates these people to a level to it that when they come back, they're adding real value to the Irish Health Service, and had they not travelled, we wouldn't have the expertise that we have. So that needs to be borne in mind as well.
Okay, Minister, we'll leave it there. Minister Patrick O'Donovan with us on the line talking about those issues. CEO on offers, cost of college accommodation.